It's time now to get the hell out of your life. A weekly broadcast with real people, sharing real struggles and offering real hope. Today's show will encourage, inspire, and empower you to face life's challenges with a bold confidence and renewed hope. Now, let's join our host, Ron Myers, the promoter.
Hello, my friends. How are you this day? It's Easter week, and I know a lot of you, you're just not going to go to church on Sunday. You're not going to participate in those festivities because you really don't know what it's about. And you don't want to be around a lot of hypocrites, right? I hear it all the time. So what I did is I have a show today for the unchurched, the non-churchy people. And I have invited a couple dear friends of mine, ministers, and we are going to have a conversation about Easter. Simple, direct to the point, because everyone on this planet, you should at least understand about Easter and then make a decision based on what you understand Easter is and how it will impact your destiny. In the studios with me is Andrew Lombardo and Paul Perisic.
Nice to be here with you.
You know, there are a lot of people that have heard of Easter, and they'll hide the little eggs and color the eggs and give the kids little bunny toys, but they really, really don't know a whole lot about Easter. And Andrew, I'll start with you. Why should anybody care about Easter?
Well, you know, Ron, what's going on in the world today, we're living in a day like no other day in human history, or in American history, we could say, at least in my lifetime. I'm 54 years old, and I've never seen America like it is today, where America is suffering with such great deception, we will say. People are looking for truth, Ron. People are looking for answers. People are looking for hope. People know that things are wrong, and they're looking for an answer. And all of these, we call them seven mountains of society. You have government and family and media and arts and entertainment and religion and business and education. Those are those pillars of society. In all those pillars of society, we see that there's trouble, and people's hearts are really concerned. What's going on in the world today? And the greatest message about Easter is Easter gives us hope. Hope that there is a better way. Hope that there is a God in the name of Jesus who desires to come into our lives and bring us this hope.
Paul, what's the hope that we have in Jesus?
The hope that we have in Jesus is he didn't come to start a religion, which most people relate anything. You hear Jesus and instantly people put up a wall because they think religion. But Jesus is the furthest person from religion there is. So the great hope would be, okay, just because you want to develop or you even try or entertain a relationship with Jesus doesn't mean you're going to become a member of some kind of religion. It means you're going to become a member of his personal inner circle, God's family. And so Easter, we always hear about it as it's the resurrection of Jesus.
Yes.
Actually, the main focus of Easter is the death of Jesus, because if there wouldn't have been a death of Jesus, there wouldn't have been a resurrection. And Jesus came and gave his life. It's like as if you and I were best friends and you were in trouble. Would I really say, I'm going to give my life for Ron so he gets out of trouble? Nobody would do that, but Jesus had to do this. His Father made him come and become sin for us or take our place so we could have a relationship with God and become part of his family. So the death of Jesus was so important. And if you've never had any kind of acknowledgement of Jesus in your life or God in your life, at least realize that Jesus was the only one who said, I'm going to give myself so hopefully I'll get a shot at being a family member, or this person will become a family member of my family and not a religious member. Mm-hmm. And so Easter is very, very focused on Jesus's death. Mm-hmm. Now, the resurrection took place because Jesus had never sinned. He was the only spiritually alive human being there was. Right. So he didn't belong in the place where dead spiritual people go. So he couldn't stay there. It would have been a miscarriage of justice. So God had to get him out of there because he didn't belong there, but Jesus went there on purpose. So any human who is not spiritually alive will go to this place called hell, but they don't have to stay there if they accept what Jesus did for them. And that's the whole thing of Easter. Jesus did something for them, so they don't have to go to a place that they will naturally go by default because they're spiritually dead. But if they just accept him taking their place for them, they get the gift of his life, which is resurrection life. And that's the whole doctrine of Christianity. We will rise from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead because he was spiritually alive and by choice became spiritually dead so he could get the spiritually dead to the place of spiritual life.
You know, I appreciate all that someone is saying, but listen, I do good things. I feed the people at the soup kitchen and I visit the elderly at the nursing home. I do good things. So I'm going to be in heaven. I'm doing all the right things. So why do I need Jesus?
You probably do those things because perhaps your parents taught you to do that or in your heart is to do good things, which is great. But when Adam and Eve died spiritually, they had not had any children yet. So when they started having children, everything reproduces after itself, and they reproduced a human race that was all spiritually dead. So God lost his son, Adam. You can see it if you read anywhere in the book of Matthew. You'll see that Adam was God's son. God's first son died. Oh, I thought that Jesus was God's first son. Jesus was God's first begotten son or son by birth. Adam was God's first son by creation. So when Adam died spiritually and started having children, all of the human race was born spiritually dead, naturally separated from God. So there had to be something take place to get man out of the spiritual death. And the only way to do that was have someone who's spiritually alive give their life in the place of the spiritually dead. So we do good things and our good works won't ever get us into spiritual life. Only a sacrifice of a spiritually alive person would get us into spiritually alive. And so it's great to do the good things. But if you leave the earth or you leave your body in the condition of spiritual death, you will, by default, go to the place where the spiritually dead people go, and that's separated from God forever. That's the simplicity of Easter. He gave his life so you could become spiritually alive.
So what you're talking about, Ron, you know, many people are trying within themselves to do good works. Like you said, go to the soup kitchen. I live a good life. I go to work. I pay my taxes. I do good. I obey the law. You know, I was good to my kids. I'm kind to my wife. You know, we give to charity. We give to St. Jude. We do these things. And we try to do these things because some way we think that our good works are going to gain us entrance to heaven. And somehow God's got this big logbook in heaven. When I get there, my good works are going to outweigh my bad works. Well, the Bible's really true, Ron, where it says that we're not saved by our good works. Our good works will never gain us entrance to heaven. What Paul was just talking about is how we gain entrance to heaven. We gain entrance to heaven for one reason and one reason only. Jesus said, I am the doorway to heaven. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life to heaven. If you're going to go to heaven, the only way to get into heaven is to accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. That's what Easter's all about. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. Probably the most famous scripture verse in the whole world is John 3:16. Everybody knows it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Listen to what it says. Whoever believes in him receives eternal life.
I grew up in a Catholic church, going to church every day because I went to a Catholic school and we went there on Easter, but I grew up religious. I mean, it was just a tradition. It was ritual. But something happened in my late 30s when I decided to leave religion and step into Christianity. I went from a knowledge of Jesus to a relationship with Jesus. Someone might be on the fence about Jesus. So their question might be, what will my life be like if I give all this stuff up that I'm doing and begin to follow Jesus? Will I have to join a special group and have a secret handshake? Will I have to wear certain things on my head? Do you know what's going to happen when I take Jesus?
Well, I can talk about what happened to me was I was in the United States Navy Seabees. I grew up like you, Ron. I grew up Catholic. So I grew up very religious. You know, I went to Easter and Christmas and did those religious things, but I never had a relationship with Jesus. And when I got into the United States Navy Seabees, I went on deployment. Well, I got in trouble and I was arrested for doing some things and it wasn't good. And I was set before a chaplain. And they said, before you make any more decisions, you need some counsel. So they sat me before a Navy chaplain And the Navy chaplain, for the first time in my life, talked to me about the law of God. I knew the Ten Commandments, but I never really knew them. And he walked me through the Ten Commandments, and he asked me, what are you going to do on the day of judgment when you stand before God and you violated all of his laws? And he asked me, have you ever told a lie? And I said, sure. And he said, so that makes you a liar. And one of God's commandments is don't lie. Then he told me what sin was, which I never really had a definition of sin. Everybody lies. So we tell lies because we want to get away with things. But on the inside of us, we know it's wrong because God's wrote his law in our heart. So because he wrote his law in my heart, I know that I was a liar, even though I got away with it. He said, God knows everything about you. So he knows that you're a liar. Well, one of his commandments is don't bear false witness, don't tell lies. So on the day of judgment, if you stand before God and you've broken all of his 10 commandments, and he took me through all 10, and I realized I broke them all. He said, what are you going to do? God's judgment is on your life. And because of that, I realized I don't know. I said, I don't know what I'm going to do. And for the first time, I really felt the judgment of God that, oh my goodness, if the Catholic Church is really right and Jesus is really who he says he is, then there really is a heaven and there really is a hell. And how do I get to heaven? And I never had that because I had religion, but I never had this relationship. And then I said, I don't want to go to hell. What do I need to do to get saved? And he gave me a Bible and I read the Gospel of John and I came back and I really didn't know what to do. And I said, could you help me? He said, you need to turn from your sins. You need to repent and ask God to forgive you. At that moment, I've never done that in my whole life, where I realized that I had done wrong and I had to ask Jesus to forgive me. And when I asked Jesus to forgive me and I accepted his sacrifice, Lord Jesus, I've done wrong. I've violated all your laws. I've broken all your commandments. I don't live for you at all. I treat you like nothing. And I ask you to forgive me for doing that. Forgive me of my sins. And I want to have a relationship with you. And when I prayed that simple prayer, not even knowing what I was praying because the chaplain helped me, my whole life changed.
Wow.
Because it wasn't religious anymore. Jesus really came and began to help.
And really, that is the point of this special program today with Easter. We want them to know that Jesus believes in them.
Believes in them.
God believes in them.
Yes, sir.
And has a plan and a life for them. And Paul, if I would have known that my life with Jesus would take on a whole new meaning when I began this relationship, maybe I would have done it sooner. You know, I don't know. God's timing is perfect timing. But there are people out there on the fence right now that they want something different in their life. And we are telling them that if they take Jesus in their heart and accept Jesus, they become a new creation. Their sins are forgiven, yes. And it's like they have a clean slate. Are you sure about that? Or if they say, well, this isn't true, I want my money back.
And if it didn't work, there wouldn't be so many bold Christians who love to talk about it. So
yeah, amen, brother.
That gives you a good idea right there. And you had asked, am I going to have to get rid of all this and that and then start wearing this funny hat and wearing these funny clothes if I become a Christian? How about forget becoming a Christian and just realize when you ask Jesus to help you and you give him access into your life, you will never be ashamed that you did that. Jesus isn't asking you to change your clothes or to change what you're doing. All he's asking you is give him a shot at your life by calling on him. There's a scripture that says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, which is Jesus, you will never be ashamed. So let him be the man who's big enough to back up that scripture right there and prove it in your own life just by you saying, okay, Jesus, I'm going to give you a shot at my life. I'm asking you to help me. And then the things in your life that are destroying your life, he'll start working on helping you get rid of those things, whether it's any form of addiction or whether it's unforgiveness. Give him a shot. He'll start working on those to get those out of your life. And in the things that he wants in your life, he's not going to make you do something drastic. Some people, maybe he will, because they have ability to do that. But most of us, it's tiny, tiny things that he does in our lives. And his whole purpose is to help us. In fact, the Bible says, let us therefore come boldly to the Lord and ask for his help. So he's all about helping, not about conforming. He's all about you giving him an open door, access to transform you or change you or make you be the person that you will even like being. And that's so nice when you like yourself because you realize he's the one who gave me an ability to enjoy where I am and who I am.
Are you saying, Andrew said a few minutes ago, that a lot of people are concerned of what's happening in the world and they're looking to politicians for answers. Are you saying that the troubles that we have in our life and in this world can only be resolved by Jesus?
The troubles in the world are going to get worse and worse. Probably the problems that come into your life are going to get worse and worse and greater, but the ability to go through them and be content as you go through them is so much easier. That's the whole purpose of the Lord, is to walk us through the things in life. In fact, in Psalm 91, the very end of it, it says, I will be with him in trouble. So there's troubles that are coming. So I can't say that when you have a relationship with Jesus that your life's going to be trouble-free. In fact, if you stand up and become a bold Christian, you'll probably open a door up for a lot more troubles and a lot more things said about you and problems in life, because you become a target more from the devil and from people, whether they go to church or not, who can be used by the devil to try and hurt you. But all those things are not even compared to the work that Jesus does inside you when you say, Jesus, I'm going to give you access to my life. I'm asking for your help.
You know, and Andrew, you and I were talking before we went on the air having some coffee, is the freedom that I received by bringing Christ to my heart. I lost all the baggage of sin, of fear, right, of doubt. All of a sudden, I realized that I was free. I was free of my past. Jesus had a plan for me. He wasn't condemning me. He wasn't shaming me. He wasn't making me feel guilty. I was beginning to feel alive, that I finally, it was kind of like the caterpillar turning into a butterfly. It's like a transformation. I didn't know what happened, but I sure felt good. And I don't think it was the pizza I ate the night before. I really do believe I felt the rebirth of my spirit.
Well, the same thing. That's great, Ron, because the same thing happened to me, because I was religious, you know, when I prayed that prayer and I asked the Lord, gave, like Paul just said, gave him a shot at my life. I experienced for the first time peace with God. You know, just like you said, peace. It was this peace from God. I finally had this peace that I've never had before. All my sins were forgiven, and you felt it. Yep. I mean, you really felt it. You knew after that happened to me, it wasn't 10 seconds later I knew something changed.
Yep.
So I had peace with God. All my sins were forgiven, and then I had a brand new start at life. I walked outside and I saw things and experienced things and filtered things through my own life differently. I began to see it because my spirit on the inside became born again. That's what happened. I came from spiritual death to spiritual life. And that's what Jesus did. He came to live inside of me. And that's when I experienced all these wonderful things that we're talking about.
And that is the point of today's show, the celebration of Easter. Now, maybe some of you have given up on religion, maybe Christianity, maybe a church has hurt you, maybe somebody has lied to you, but Jesus wants a personal relationship with you. You're never going to be in a world where you're going to be around people that do all the right things and say all the right things. You cannot base your theology on what people say about you or how they treat you. Base it on the fact that Jesus is crazy about you. He's madly in love with you and would love to do life with you. Paul, you know, we're about out of time, so right now it's your turn to talk to someone that maybe just needs to try Jesus.
If you find yourself in a place where someone's hurt you, so you've got unforgiveness every day, it's with you, or you're addicted to something, or you just can't stand something else going on in your life and you wish you were free of it, Jesus isn't a religion for you to try. He's the only one who will give you a relationship that will be the landmark thing in your life, that your life will definitely start taking a turn to get you free from the things that you hate that are going on in your life. So today I'm asking you, and I'm telling you, it would be the best decision you ever made in your life. You turn to Jesus, and whether it's Easter or not Easter, thank the Lord that it is Easter season, and you turn to him on your own and you say, Jesus, I'm going to ask you to help me in my life. I'm going to receive you as the one to save me and help me. and I'm looking forward to what you're going to do in my life, or I'm just going to check you out and see if you're going to do something to change me. And watch what he'll do. He is the only person who is not a religious figure. He is a real man, the real Savior, and he will really step into your life and start the process of changing your life into what he would like you to be, which will be so satisfying to you that you will say, thank you, that Ron Myers, that I listened to your show today. Thank you, Jesus, that you did change my life. I promise you, you will be 100% so thrilled that you did this. A year from now, you will be jumping for joy. 10 years from now, you'll be jumping for joy. So do it. Do it now. Jesus, I'm asking you to come into my life and help me. Wow. You will do it.
Yeah. And that's with our listeners here. I know there's real problems out there. There's real hurts, but all of us experience that. And the only reason we can share Jesus with you is because he really did fix us. And you know what? We still have some issues where we're fine tuning, but we're happy. We're a happy camper. We know we have a purpose. We have a destiny. And when I get up in the morning, I anticipate problems that will come my way, because I'm not going to be caught off guard because I'm doing life with Jesus. So I just say, hey, Lord, I don't know what we're going to come up against today, but I want you to know that I love you and thank you for leading me today. Encourage me and inspire me. Sometimes, Andrew, a person to be encouraged and inspired by Jesus and just feel his love, that's all you need. And then the rest begins taking care of itself. So you have a church. Tell us about your church.
The name of our church is called the Mission Church and Training Center. We're at 21025 Success Road in Sosher, Mississippi. Our Sunday morning services are at 10:30. Every Sunday morning, we do have our Sunday morning prayer meeting that goes from 9:30 to 10:10. We have our midweek service on Tuesdays. It's a Tuesday night Bible training, and we do intense Bible studies, and we're in a whole 10-week series on healing.
You too. Thank you. I hope this has helped. I believe it has. God orchestrates these shows and helps somebody out there that is struggling in life and they happen to tune in. Paul, will you close us in prayer?
Sure. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to get into the ears of people who are crying out for help. They see the direction that the world's headed. Maybe they don't see that because their life has always been in a state of delusion or turmoil or misfit or dysfunction. So I thank you that these words that they heard today are guiding them to calling on Jesus for his help. No matter where they stand, you're there with them right now. I ask you to let them feel your presence and let them have the understanding that you are calling them right where they are, as clean as they are, as important as they are, as least important as they are, that you want them to be in relationship with you. And I thank you for doing that, Father, and for them to experience what we've experienced when we said, Jesus, I need you, so I'm asking you to help me, save me. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
You're listening to Get the Hell Out of Your Life with your host, Ron Myers. Real stories, real struggles, and real hope.
It may have been the dumbest order ever given. Jesus had been crucified and buried in a borrowed tomb. The Roman governor was afraid the disciples would steal Jesus' body, so he had a massive stone rolled over the entrance, sealed it, posted a guard, and here was his order. Make it as secure as you can. Right. Do you know who's in that tomb? The Son of God, who made the tree he died on, and the men who nailed him there. Death can't hold him, and it didn't. That Easter morning, Jesus blew death away as he walked out of his grave so he could walk into your life. Today, if you'll open your heart to him, well, you will know that relationship with him. Only the man who died for your sin can forgive your sin. Only the man who conquered death can give you eternal life. He said, because I live, you will live also. If you want to be sure you belong to Jesus, would you contact us at chataboutjesus.com.
Join Colton Dixon and Jordan Felice for the Love and Light Tour, sponsored by Compassion International, at First Baptist Gulfport, Sunday night, April 7th. You will be my. You don't want to miss this powerful evening. Yeah, the king is alive. featuring the greatest hits and new songs from Colton Dixon and Jordan Felice. Bring the whole family to the Love and Light Tour in Gulfport, Mississippi, April 7th. Tickets available now at ColtonDixon.com and JordanFelice.com.
Ron will be back in a moment to wrap up today's conversation. Did you know what Ron did before he discovered his destiny? He was a promoter of secular entertainment, and by his own admission, he promoted anything he could make a buck at. At the pinnacle of his success, he walked away from it all so he could follow Jesus and discover his God-given destiny. That was over 20 years ago, and he has never looked back. Today, he's an inspirational speaker on a mission to empower individuals just like you to discover their God-given destiny. Ron put his story in a novel entitled The Promoter, and he wants to give you a copy.
My story is proof positive that God's plan for you and I is greater than all of our mistakes.
Here's what a few readers have said. I could not put it down. I cried, giggled, gasped, and laughed out loud. Ron has written a novel and self-help book all in one. The best book I've read in a long time. This book is a message of hope. To request your free copy of Ron's novel, The Promoter, visit our website at thepromoter.org. Now, back to Ron.
Well, friends, my time is up. And you heard three grown adult men talking around the table about Easter and about Jesus. You know, we were all crazy, goofy, lost people at one time in life, but thank God nobody gave up on us. They kept encouraging us, and one day we saw the light. We saw Jesus. Friends, Easter is an important date for you to discover what God has for you. I don't want to push you. I don't want to press you, but I want you to know that when all else in life fails, Jesus will not fail. He'll come into your heart, clean house, remove guilt, condemnation, and give you a life of purpose, passion, and destiny. Do a good deed for someone this week, and remember this, that I love you, Jesus loves you, and when you get the hell out of your life, life is good.
Get the Hell Out of Your Life is underwritten by the Christmas City Gift Show. We invite you to come shop with over 255 vendors from all over the United States from November 8th through the 10th inside the Coast Convention Center located on the beach in Biloxi, Mississippi. You can find more information at ChristmasCityGiftShow.com. Thanks for listening. And if you would like to share your story of what God has done in your life or listen to previous episodes, please visit our website, thepromoter.org. Join us next week for another episode of Get the Hell Out of Your Life. Real stories, real struggles, and real hope.